This is the Tom Hartmann Program.
Tom Hartmann here with you, and on the line with us Greg Palast, the investigative journalist, author, filmmaker, the best democracy money can buy. GregPalast.com is website. You can tweet him at Greg_Palast. We just had a fascinating and long conversation with Congressman Ro Khanna, the vice chair of the Progressive Caucus, Greg, about the about how the Republicans are basically lying about Judge Kavanaugh and how Judge Kavanaugh has been lying. And then also about we had several callers who were talking about how enraged they were that their vote had been suppressed or they'd been knocked off the voting roll in Midwestern states in the 2016 election. And in the backdrop of all this, of course, there's a whole bunch of pieces to it, but you're specifically reporting on Kris Kobach in Kansas. So you want to bring us up to date on this?
Oh, yeah. Today, in fact, probably as we speak, there's going to be a hearing when an active citizen named Davis Hammett, and this guy, I'm going to hire him, man. What a great investigative reporter. Mm-hmm. He's demanding a recount of the primary vote where Kris Kobach supposedly won the gubernatorial primary in Kansas by 350 votes. Well, Kobach's minions in various counties decided that he was going to do what he usually does to Democrats, not count his Republican opponent, the sitting governor Collier, in Collier's main area, which is Johnson County, which is a suburb of Kansas City, Kansas. There were 2,300 people forced to provisional ballots. And, about half were not counted in that one county.
So he did a purge in the county of the home county of his opponent. He did a voter purge?
He did purges. He did. That's why a lot of people are showing up not getting ballots. He also did something else, which I hate to say was something that the California establishment did against Bernie Sanders in 2016. In Kansas, if you're not affiliated with a party, you can vote in the Republican primary. Those people were either sent away or told that they had to fill out provisional ballots, which were then rejected. It ain't true. The law requires, says you can register on the day as a Republican and vote.
Right.
And those independents were the ones who really couldn't stomach Kobach. He knew that. 2,300 votes in just that one county, another 2,300, probably about 10,000 provisional ballots across Kansas. And the other trick that they used, that Kobach used, is saying, oh, there were no signature matches on the absentee ballots sent in, the mail-in ballots in the primary. Mm-hmm. This is another trick. Unfortunately, that was used on hundreds of thousands of voters in the 2016 Sanders-Clinton primary in California. So Kobach learns from some of the Democrats, too. I hate to say it, but they said signatures didn't match just over 100 in just that one single county in Kansas that's a Collier stronghold. They didn't reject a single ballot for mismatched signature in the Kobach stronghold in Wichita, whereas the Kansas City Collier area, they rejected them over 100 in just that one county. Now, understand what that means. There's no law in Kansas that says you may reject a ballot because of a signature. You know, if an American says, this is me, this is my ballot, I'm an American citizen, I'm voting, that's it, baby, in Kansas under the law. But Kobach decided he's his own law and told his county directors.
Because he's the Secretary of State.
Yeah, he's the Secretary of State to knock out mismatched signatures, but it was only happening in those Collier counties. So Kris Kobach did to his Republican opponent what his Republican opponent applauded when he did it against Democrats. So no tears for Collier, but tears for democracy in Kansas.
Remarkable. I have a question, a follow-up on that, but lest we forget, this is not new. In 1980, Paul Weyrich, the co-founder of the Heritage Foundation, working on the Reagan campaign, speaking to a group of Democrats in a church basement in Texas, a group of activist Republicans, yes. Christian activist, fundamentalist Christian activist Republicans, said this.
Now, many of our Christians have what I call the goo-goo syndrome. Good government. They want everybody to vote. I don't want everybody to vote. Elections are not won by a majority of people. They never have been from the beginning of our country, and they are not now. As a matter of fact, our leverage in the elections, quite candidly, goes up as the voting populace goes down.
Now, this has been the Republican mantra literally since 1980. They have been engaging in voter suppression. There's been virtually no discussion about it on the Democratic side, which I think is horrible. Now, Greg Palast, I understand that the governor, Governor Collier of Kansas, the one who got bumped off by Kris Kobach, has come out and said this is wrong.
Well, Collier complained to Kobach during the count. And by the way, Kris Kobach was counting his own ballots, okay?
He's right.
Okay. And finally, he said, by the way, you violated your oath as an attorney. You violated the law as Secretary of State. Stop counting your own ballots or not refusing. The main thing was refusing to count Collier's ballots. So he just turned. So Kobach just turned it over to a flunky. And by the way, he's in a tight, tight race, Kobach, but he's not recusing himself from counting the votes in the November general election against the Democrat and independent. So, you know, this is an old game. Collier, I have no sympathy for the Republican sitting governor that Kobach beat, because Collier was right there applauding Kobach for saying voters ought to be required to prove that they're citizens, you know, making every voter, young voter, a suspect. So, you know, this is but it's not just Kansas. It's all over America. That's why I'm suing Kobach and, you know, 25 of his GOP brethren.
Speaking of which, how's that lawsuit going?
Well, today, Mr. Kobach, if you're listening in, and I know he usually does, by the way, Mr. Kobach, you've got till 5 p.m. your time to cough up your papers, the names of the people you've purged off the voter rolls, and I'll share them with Mr. Collier, too. And I want those names by 5 p.m. or you'll see me in federal court. I should say, and here's some very good news, my attorney contacted me and said they're dropping like flies. Even Brian Kemp, who is running against Stacey Abrams for governor. He's the Secretary of State. He's removed 591,000 voters from the Georgia voter rolls. He's Secretary of State there. And he's bleached the voter rolls whiter than white for his run against Stacey Abrams, the African-American woman running against him. And I've demanded his purge list. And hours before he was going to have to face me in federal court, he said he'll cough up the entire list. So we'll see if he's going to play games with that, but that's a big win. Colorado has said, you've got the list. They're coming in from all over the country as they're actually realizing that federal judges really are not going to be too kind to Jim Crow.
Do you think that is going to be changing as more and more right-wing federal judges are being appointed by Trump? I mean, they had, for the last 2 years of the Obama presidency, they basically didn't allow any federal judges to go on the bench, to the point that John Roberts said, you know, wrote a letter to Paul Ryan saying this is a crisis for the federal judiciary. To Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell didn't care. He also suppressed, held back a vote on Merrick Garland. So what's up with that? Is that going to be changing the nature of these kinds of decisions, do you think? Evidence of that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sick to my stomach about it. In fact, there's no question. I'm going to be very blunt. We're going to try to keep this out of the Supreme Court, my case against Kobach and these other guys. We're going to keep it to the details of state of what's happening in each state, because if Kavanaugh gets on the court, we're dead in the water. I'm very afraid of Kavanaugh and this current court. You know, Kennedy was not great, but, you know, he had some doubts about just unleashing Jim Crow on the voter rolls. You have an attorney general who's supposed to protect the voters, who actually said that the Voting Rights Act was gutted. He says we don't need any of it at all. That's Jeff Beauregard Sessions. I'm very, very afraid of the change in the federal bench. That's why I'm moving very quickly. And I'm not afraid of Republican judges. I mean, Republican judges have banged Kris Kobach over the head. I can't tell you how many times, telling him, by the way, sir, we have a democracy. But, you know, he's been resisting. I'm just afraid of these new ultra-right guys that they are stuffing the benches with. Very, very dangerous.
Yeah, they're not Republicans. They're toadies for the billionaire class who are being propped up by the Federalist Society, which is funded by the billionaire class in large part. It's pretty amazing. Greg Palast. You can check out his website, gregpalast.com. His latest movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. You can watch it over on Amazon and other places. Greg, thanks so much for being with us today.
You're the best, Tom. Thank you.
Great talking with you. We'll be back with more of the news of the day, my take on it, and your thoughts on it right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
By the way, Donald Trump just extended the state of emergency that George W. Bush declared on 9/11 in order to consolidate more power in the executive office. And welcome back. Carolyn in North Carolina watching us on Free Speech TV. Hey, Carolyn, what's on your mind today?
Well, y'all were talking about the way they messed up the state.
Mm-hmm.
And they messed it up so bad, the county in where I live. My son run for Congress this past time, and I couldn't even vote for him because
really?
That part of my county. But my brother and my daughter could. So they have messed up North Carolina. Terrible.
Is this from the gerrymandering you're talking about, Carolyn?
Yeah. You know, I forget all those words.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. And it just broke my heart.
Remarkable.
It just broke my heart. But he did come in second on the playset, so he hadn't give up.
Yeah, well, that's a start. I mean, Abe Lincoln lost the first five, I think, elections that he ran for. It takes time. You know, you just keep at it. So
I'm behind him 100%. I'm proud of him.
Yeah, give him our very best. I'm proud of him, too. And, Carolyn, thank you for the call. Thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. Grant in Bellevue, Washington, listening on KBCS. Hey, Grant, what's on your mind today?
Up here in Washington, the weather has kind of shifted towards fall. It's so beautiful that I wanted to remind people to get out and get their hands in the dirt, plant a garden. It's the best way for many things, relaxation, then fight corporate greed, both at the same time.
Yeah, it's turning into fall here in Portland as well. What can you plant September now? What can you plant in September? Is there something that has a really, really short growing season?
Well, all the beautiful greens and lettuce have pretty short growing seasons, and then when it actually goes to frost, we can bring them inside and have them be window sill gardens.
Yeah. Have you gardened your whole life, Grant?
No, but I've been involved in agriculture. I think it would help our country a lot if more people got involved in agriculture just on its namesake.
Yeah.
So that we have more culture.
Well, not only that, the food is just spectacular. Louise has been bringing in onions and tomatoes and Swiss chard from our garden, from her garden. And it's just great, great stuff. I mean, you know, fresh food, literally fresh out of the garden. There's just nothing like it.
Oh, yeah, a couple weeks of eating out of your own garden, and then you eat in the grocery store, and you'll be appalled by the taste difference.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Grant, thanks a lot for the call.
It's... I want to say, hey, everybody, love dirt.
Love dirt. Well, you know, there's another dimension of this, Grant. Not only does dirt provide life for us because plants are rooted in it, and everything we eat starts out as sunlight being converted into vegetable matter by plants. Even when we eat animals, we're eating plants secondarily because there's about 20 pounds of plant to make 1 pound of animal flesh. And I encourage people not to eat animals, but you know, or fish, but that's the case. But it's also one of the best ways to sink carbon out of the atmosphere. You know, living soil is really, really powerful stuff to fight climate change. Grant, thanks for the call. Very well said. It's a very, very good point. It's 20 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program. I mentioned President Trump has just, it hurts to say that, Donald Trump has extended the state of emergency under which we are living for another year. What this means is that the powers of the White House are expanded and the ability to have scrutiny over what they're doing is restricted. We'll be back. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. This new ethics complaint, this is extraordinary. The Democratic coalition has filed a lawsuit, a complaint, essentially, an ethics complaint, with the Washington, D.C. court, the D.C. Court of Appeals, which is the court on which Kavanaugh sits, and the chief judge of that court, the number one guy on that court, to whom Kavanaugh is subordinate, is Merrick Garland. So I'm guessing Merrick Garland will probably recuse himself, but we'll see. I think he'll do it for appearance sake. I'm not sure that there's a strong legal argument that he should recuse himself. But whether he does or not, the Democrats are saying this is just wrong. This man has committed perjury, Kavanaugh, that Brett Kavanaugh has lied to Congress. He lied to Congress in 2004. We now have the videotape of that. He lied to Congress in 2006. We have the videotape of that. He lied to Congress last week in a number of instances, particularly with regard to his testimony in 2004 and 2006. And then you've got Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, who are saying, have basically built their careers on being pro-choice Republicans, a vanishing breed, right? There's some pro-life Democrats. There's some pro-choice Republicans. And Collins and Murkowski have been among them. Interestingly, the only two, Jody Arentz is also a senator who's a Republican, but she's not pro-choice. So in any case, these two women, in Republicans in the United States Senate, have literally built their careers on this. Steve Schmidt shouting out. Steve Schmidt was the guy, you'll recall, who ran the John McCain campaign. Republican operative, consultant, campaign manager. I'm not sure exactly what title he goes by these days. But he's speaking of Murkowski and Collins, who he says they built their political career. By the way, Susan Collins' office has received over 3,000 coat hangers in the mail. I think this is fascinating that, coat hangers, of course, harkening back to the days when abortion was illegal and occasionally women would try to, induce an abortion with an uncoiled coat hanger and very often bleed out or kill themselves. This happened. Lewis Powell, the Supreme Court judge, Lewis Powell, the guy who authored the Powell Memo in 1971, Richard Nixon put him on the Supreme Court in 72. He authored and participated in the 1976 Buckley versus Vallejo decision when they said, yes, billionaires can own politicians, something that had been against the law basically from the founding of the Republic. And or at least we had never said that they have the explicit right under the First Amendment. That was what Lewis Powell said. But there's an interesting little story to Lewis Powell's past. Lewis Powell, interestingly, was not a so-called pro-life or anti-abortion vote on the Supreme Court. And nobody really knew why. And back about 4 or 5 years ago when I was writing the book, The Crash of 2016, basically much of the book is about the Powell memo and the Republican takeover of government and how that Republican takeover has morphed into a billionaire takeover of government and how the billionaires are milking us all dry and it's going to crash the system, thus the title Crash of 2016. And so as I was digging into this, I discovered this amazing story about Lewis Powell. Lewis Powell used to be a lawyer in Virginia, where he was like one of these Southern gentleman types, right? And although his principal clients were tobacco companies and wealthy white people and big corporations. And he had this kid who worked for him. He was 19 or 20. He was a law student. And they both lived in the same town. His family knew Lewis Powell's family. And he came to Lewis Powell's office, which was in this, kind of big old house, right, back in the day. This was like in the 60s. And came to Lewis Powell's office and all freaked out and said, my girlfriend just died. She's back at the house dead, back in my apartment. And so Lewis Powell went to this kid's apartment, and sure enough, his girlfriend had died. She was dead on the bed. She had died from a self-induced illegal abortion. I'm not sure if it was self-induced, but she'd had an illegal abortion because all abortions were illegal. And she had bled out on this kid's bed. And so Lewis Powell took him down to the police station, got him basically a get-out-of-jail pass, and sort of covered the whole thing up, supervised the funeral for the girl, took care of the body, everything. And from that day forward, he was a reliable vote on the court for Roe v. Wade, for the legality of abortion. But anyhow, Steve Schmidt says, he's speaking to Collins and Murkowski, he says they built their political careers around the premise that they're tough and independent leaders who will defend Roe v. Wade. Turns out it was a con on the level of Trump University. In the end, they are the architects of the repeal of Roe v. Wade. They conned a lot of people for a long time, but like all cons, the day always comes when the curtain is pulled back. My objection to Collins and Murkowski isn't on the basis of a belief, it's on the basis of how dishonest and full of S they are. Collins and Murkowski's impending vote for Kavanaugh exposes them as titanic frauds.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
And one of our callers in the last hour to Congressman Connors, you know, made the point that he had tried to call Collins' office and they wouldn't even take his call because he wasn't calling from Maine. We'll be back. All aboard. It's a once-in-a-lifetime luxury Alaskan cruise on the Regent Seven Sea Mariner, July 24th, 2019. For more information, Keen Luxury Travel, 800-856-1155. And did I mention, we'll be getting active on board with special events with yours truly, me, as we visit Ketchikan, Juneau, Skagway, Sitka, Hubbard Glacier, and Anchorage. Tom Hartman here with you, and our old friend Lisa Graves is on the line. Lisa is the co-director of Documented Investigations, the former executive director of the Center for Media and Democracy, when we used to have her on regularly. DocumentedInvestigations.org is her new group. The Lisa Graves is her Twitter handle. Lisa, welcome back.
Tom, thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
It's great having you on. I want you to tell us about your new organization, but first, and please don't let me forget to get to that before we get off the air, but first, you wrote an op-ed titled, "I wrote some of the memos that Brett Kavanaugh lied to the Senate about. He should be impeached, not elevated." Can you explain?
Yes, thank you so much. I think this is a vitally important issue for people to be aware of, because there's been a lot of news about Brett Kavanaugh, who is being nominated for a lifetime appointment on the U.S. Supreme Court. He's 52 years old, and he previously, before he became a federal judge, he previously worked in the White House Counsel's Office in the first term of George W. Bush, and he worked on judicial nominations. Back then, there were more than 4,000 documents that were stolen from Democratic staffers by a person who was the main counsel for the majority leader in the Senate.
That was Manny Miranda, wasn't it?
Yes, Manny Miranda, exactly right. And there was actually a Senate investigation about the theft of those documents. And so Brett Kavanaugh was asked back in 2004, a month after that that report on the investigation was released, whether he had seen any documents or any drafts or heard that there might be any such materials from Democratic staffers that was provided to him, or information from those documents or more, and he said no, unequivocally. And he was asked more than 100 questions about this between the 2004 hearing and his 2006 hearing for the appellate bench for the D.C. Circuit. And then just this past week, as part of the hearing on his nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court, a small number of documents have been released, many, many more being held up by the Trump administration and by the former Bush, the Bush library, basically, that show that, in fact, there was a great deal of communication between Manny Miranda and Brett Kavanaugh, and some of those communications from him and others talked about confidential information from Democrats, including excerpts of one of my pieces of research, as well as letters from Democrats involving Democrats' drafts. In addition to talk of spying and moles. And so I think this is a serious matter that requires a serious and real and full investigation about his statements to the United States Senate. I believe he lied. He was dishonest. He did not tell the complete truth. And I don't think he should be elevated. I think there's grounds for a serious investigation whether he should even be a federal judge.
Yeah, I completely agree. He, you know, he lied in the two hearings, 2004, 2006, that elevated him to be a federal judge. It's a remarkable story, Lisa Graves. Tell us about DocumentedInvestigations.org.
Well, we are a watchdog group, and we are focused on the corporate influence on our democracy, including on our courts, but on all parts of our democratic society in which corporations are exerting undue influence. And so Documented allows me to do longer-term research, spend more of my time on research to help let people know more about the Koch brothers and other corporation CEOs and groups that are having an undue influence on our democracy, our environment, and our economy.
That is great. Please keep Sean and I up to date on what you're doing. And anytime you've got something hot or breaking, let us know. We'd love to get you back on the air, Lisa.
Oh, thank you so much. And it's so nice to talk to your listeners. Thank you for all the great work you do, letting people know more about what's happening in Congress, but also across the country.
Thank you, Lisa. Lisa Graves, documentedinvestigations.org is the website, and you can find her at the, or you can tweet her at the Lisa Graves, spelled just the way you'd expect. Let's pick up some phone calls here. There's been it's been quite a day. Dave in Armstrong Creek, Wisconsin. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to bring up something I heard today. It was about Lisa Murkowski, and everybody's concentrating on her stance on Roe v. Wade, but I heard that a lot of her constituents are calling her about Mr. Kavanaugh's feelings about climate change.
Well, also, and that, there's that and also the Native American issue.
Yes, yes, and I don't know all the details on that, but that's something that we should all be talking about right now with hurricane season back. We've already had a bad one in Hawaii. There's another one moving in. We had just major flooding in southern Wisconsin here, and our governor, Scott Walker, is trying to scramble to get money from the federal government that he seems to hate so much.
Yeah.
But it should be something we should all be concerned with, and if we call our senators, bring that up, the issue of climate change and Kavanaugh's stance on that.
Here's the bizarre, the truly bizarre thing, Dave. The Trump administration and Donald on the campaign trail in his campaign to run for 2020 president are bragging about blue-collar construction jobs are back. And it's true. The blue-collar construction jobs are exploding right now and have, it's not unique to Trump. It's been happening for the last 4 years or so. And it turns out that the reason why is disaster repair. If you take out all the jobs that have been created rebuilding people's houses after major flooding events like you saw in Houston or like, you know, this the one that's on its way to the Carolinas apparently right now. I think it's Hurricane Florence. And the wildfires in California, well, not just California, well, California, Oregon, Washington State, Idaho. Just these extreme weather events that are being driven and exacerbated by climate change. Somebody's got to rebuild those places. And so, you know, it's the old ad, you know, every time a forest falls, GDP goes up. Every time there's an oil spill, GDP goes up because you've got to do all this repair work. It's a bizarre kind of non sequitur.
Yeah, it's happening all over. And I mentioned Wisconsin just recently, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody really hears about that.
Yeah, and there's a huge demand now for people to rebuild these houses, redo the sheetrock, redo the electric, all that kind of thing. Dave, thanks a lot for the call. Great to hear from you. Mary in Chicago. Hey, Mary, what's up?
Hi. I called Colin's office.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, very nice. Now, I didn't get hold of the main number that was busy,
right?
So I got hold of one of her other offices, and they were really nice about it. And it sounded to me like she didn't like that she didn't like abortion any better than I did.
Yeah.
And I explained that I was 77 and I know about the days before, and I didn't want to see them come back. And I also want to know from you. Are they going to be able to, I just wanted you to know that, but I also want to know from you.
Good on you.
Are they going to be able to stop his confirmation, being that they've got a suit, a court case against him? I mean, it seems to me you can't have both at the same time.
You can. There's nothing that can be done legally to put legal automatic brakes on this progress. And if Mitch McConnell decides that he's going to have the vote, and if he has successfully intimidated Collins or Murkowski, or if he has successfully intimidated, or the Republican Party has successfully intimidated Joe Manchin or Heidi Heitkamp or Claire McCaskill, then Brett Kavanaugh is going to sit on the Supreme Court. And if we can continue calling the Senate at 202-224-3121, and speak to these people, these five in particular, but every other senator too needs to be hearing from us, that a man who is a serial liar, a man who wants to make abortion illegal, a man who has essentially lied about that, but he's lied about some really serious things now, repeatedly before Congress.
Right.
Has committed perjury. You know, Bill Clinton was impeached for committing perjury around a BJ. This is a whole much bigger deal. This has nothing to do with Brett Kavanaugh's personal life. We're not even talking about whether he has a gambling problem or why he had a $200,000 bill on his credit card that got paid off magically last year. You know, none of that stuff is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about his positions on the federal bench and the way that he would change the character and nature of this country for the next 30, 40 years if he's put on the Supreme Court. This guy's, I think, 53 years old. And this is a big deal. Mary, thank you for the call. Spot on. Al in Oakland, California, listening on Sirius XM. Hey, Al, we got about a minute here. It's a quick one.
All right. Thanks, Tom, for taking my call. You know, I'm at a loss here to understand why Obama is taking credit for an economy that he took over that had no direction.
You mean Trump is taking credit for it?
Trump, I'm sorry. Yeah. Trump is taking credit for an economy that had no direction but up, and blames Obama for everything. And when Obama defends himself, they say this is unprecedented. You know, and as much as Trump talks about him, you know, I'm really stunned at what's happening in really in America today, you know, with Trump taking over, and nobody's really talking about the economy that he did not create.
Yeah. I think the last time that a former president loudly and repeatedly spoke out against the guy who followed him was Teddy Roosevelt going after William Howard Taft because he wasn't progressive enough. You know, the Republican who followed Teddy Roosevelt and won the election. But, you know, so it's not unprecedented. There certainly is a precedent, and it was a Republican going after another Republican. But the reality is that the other precedent is that sitting presidents don't attack previous presidents. And Donald Trump blew that one all to hell. Al, thanks for the call.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
4 minutes from now, we're going to check in with Talk Media News and find out what's going on in the world with former Congressman Bob Ney. Stick around. And welcome back. Catstone, watching Free Speech TV in Coos Bay, Oregon. Am I saying that right, Catstone?
That's right.
Hey, what's up?
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And I hope you don't get tired of hearing people say thank you for what you do.
Oh, no, that's fine. It's when it goes on and on and on that I start feeling like I'm Donald Trump in one of his cabinet meetings. You know, it's, but there you go, Christone, what's on your mind today?
Well, thinking back to what Michael Moore said in the election, that if Donald Trump got elected, he would be the last president we ever had. And when Trump took away John Brennan's security clearance, I've been thinking about this for a long time, but when he took away the security clearances, that gave me a chill. And now he's extending this emergency situation. I'm thinking that he could, with the anonymous op-ed in the New York Times, thinking he could declare a martial law? He can't find these people. He's thinking we're in trouble. The nation needs to stop. He shuts down the elections, and because he's moving, he wants to move, if he has the thought even to move it, to a dictatorship.
It will depend to a large extent on Congress and the federal courts. And
right.
This is one of the things that's so, the latter part of that, the federal courts, is what's so chilling about Trump going with Brett Kavanaugh as his nominee, as I've pointed out a million times or many times on this program. Brett
yes,
Kavanaugh.
I'm really scared of him.
Yeah, Brett Kavanaugh's sales pitch to Donald Trump via the media was, put me on the Supreme Court and I'll make sure you don't go to jail. And, you know, Trump is picking his judge. And for the multiple trials that may end up before the Supreme Court, I mean, the Chief Justice, of course, that would be John Roberts, presides over an impeachment hearing in the Senate. But you know, cases going to the Supreme Court can there's a whole series of possible litigations that could end up before the Supreme Court around Trump. So, you know, can he be indicted? Things like that. And so I'm very concerned, Catstone. I don't know that Trump declaring a dictatorship is something we need to be too flipped out about, although he has blown up so many democratic norms so far. It is very concerning. And then you've got, you know, the billionaires who are firmly behind Trump. They may not like his rhetoric and they keep asking him to dial back the tweets, but the tweets are what, you know, energizes his base, which is increasingly basically his only support. And of course, you know, Fox News, billionaire Rupert Murdoch supporting him via Fox News, something that's not going to go away as long as Rupert Murdoch is in charge.
Well, maybe the other thing is it has to all collapse before it can be rebuilt again.
That seems to be the case demonstrated by history. As much as I am discomfited by that, it's.
But I have a solution.
Okay.
It's long term. The solution is to teach all our children to have good self-esteem, to think well of themselves, and eventually there will be no more problem, although we have to have good and bad and light and dark. But everyone needs good self-esteem, and if you have good self-esteem, you don't have to worry about what someone else does.
Yeah, absolutely true. Thank you, Kat Stone, for the call, and thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV there in Coos Bay, a great part of the state of Oregon. We'll be right back. It's coming up on 10 minutes before the hour. Bob Nay will be with us with Talk Media News. So let's check in with Talk Media News and find out what's going on in the world today. On the line with us, this report, by the way, brought to you by GoatsForTheOldGoat.com and Loving What You Do, Ellen Ratner's new book. On the line with us, Bob Nay, the author of Sideswiped. Congressman, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Tom.
So what's at the top of your hit parade with regard to what's in the news?
Well, there are all types of things, you know, with Syria, et cetera. But I did want to turn and keep in the Mideast for a second here, but
sure.
The president has announced he's going to close the Palestine Liberation Organization mission in Washington, D.C. And that mission was deemed by Congress back in 1987 to forbid the PLO to have an office, but there are provisions for waivers, and that has been wavered all the way forward with Clinton, President Bush, President Bush's father, President Obama, but now it will be closed under the Trump administration, and they will be asked to leave.
This is not going to help any efforts to bring the Palestinians and the Israelis together for peace talks.
Yes, you know, you just exactly mimicked exactly what my analysis of this. Nothing good can come from this. Now,
yeah.
People can say they're illegitimate, they can say whatever they want to say about it. This is advised and allowed for at least a mission for communication to be out there.
Right. It's not even an embassy.
Right, and it's been there throughout presidents. It's been there for a long time. Now, I think there's two words that sums up what happened here, and that's John Bolton.
Mm.
And, in fact, he is the one who has announced it in a speech to the Federalist Society. And his quote was, "The United States will use any means necessary to protect our citizens and those of our allies from unjust prosecution by this illegitimate court," because he's talking about the fact that the Palestinians had said that they felt there were some Israeli war crimes is what they had spoke out about.
Are you talking about the International Criminal Court now? The PLO bringing cases there and the Trump administration also talking about defunding, or at least the American funding, removing the American funding for the International Criminal Court. This is the tribunal that prosecuted Nazi war criminals.
Yes, it is. And the fact that, of course, Nikki Haley was going towards partial cutoff of money, which is used for refugee and humanitarian, and we know that they're cutting all of that off, and that was last week.
Wow.
Now the office is being closed. And Bolton's quote is, "The United States will always stand with our friend and ally, Israel." And he's basically defending in his speech today, saying the Trump administration will not keep the office open when the Palestinians refuse to step and start direct and meaningful negotiations with Israel. So what we have now said is we're going to cut off all the humanitarian aid. And again, not that anyone in their right mind would be promoting violence against Israel. Of course not. You know, and,
right.
And there are people that do that and people that don't. But first, the money was cut, and that goes towards refugees, food, medical attention, you know, housing, everything under the sun.
Right.
And I've been to the West Bank, Tom, and I don't know if you've been over there.
I've not.
The West Bank, but it is tough living conditions even years back. So now this follows up again with the closure of the PLO office. This will not bring anybody to supports any form of peace. In fact, this will absolutely incite a lot of problems.
Yeah. A lot. Terrible. What else is up, Bob?
Well, and then the Koch brothers were not happy with one super PAC. They have now created a second super PAC.
You mean one wasn't enough?
No, one's not enough because, you know, again, they buy each other presidents for Christmas. Mm-hmm. So they need a little bit more money there. And the Americans for Prosperity, of course, one of the most conservative policy-focused groups of the Koch brothers, it's getting into the super PAC business itself. So they're creating another one, and that's called Americans for Prosperity Action. And that's a new tool. They say they want to make their mark larger. They actually quote Concerned Veterans for America Action Fund and the Libra. I haven't heard of that. Have you, L-I-B-R-E?
No.
Action?
I would guess it's a Hispanic group, but I just don't know.
Something, yes. Yeah. That, they're going to aim towards that and then have that targeted purpose, you know,
yeah.
Somehow.
So the billionaires are extending and cementing their control over American politics, basically, is the bottom line here, right?
Right. Oh, exactly. And they're adding more money, you know, obviously, into the system.
Yeah.
And the other one is a very fascinating study that we, you know, are talking about today. And it's a study that was out of California, Berkeley. And what it talks about is the actual real impact of raising the minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So most states, say, of course, have a minimum wage above the federal mark. And that was stopping at, what, 7.25 per hour for nearly a decade. Now, in some of the cities, the minimum wage has been doubled. We all know that. You know, San Francisco, I think, was the first city to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Seattle
yeah.
has the $15 policy over the past several years. Now, the argument's been that's, you know, killing the economy. So now, Tom, there's 10 large cities in about 7 states and some smaller localities, but they're transitioning between $12 and $15 an hour for their minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
So this report by the University of California, Berkeley Center on Wage and Employment Dynamics, is called CWED, is saying that at least in the city-level cases, this is doing nothing to stifle jobs. It's helping.
Yeah, I would think it would help, too, because what you're doing is you're pouring more money into the local economy, you know, by raising the wages of the lowest-paid people who spend all their money into the local economy. Excellent. Bob, thanks for that. I'm glad to hear it. Bob Ney with the Talk Media News, the author of Sideswiped. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. We'll be back. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.